Please turn to 2 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 6. Title of the message this morning is, We have a greater host. Is this on, Brother John? Did I get it? Okay, good. Let's all stand together as we read. I'm going to start in verse 13. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, "And he said, Go and spy where he is, that being Elisha, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Brother Coolidge, lead us in prayer, please. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It doesn't take you very long as a Christian to realize that we have enemies. It doesn't take you very long as somebody that loves the Lord to have those enemies come. Don't know how they come, but I do know that they come. Don't know when they're going to come, but I do know that they're going to come. Don't know how strong they're going to come, but I do know that they're going to come. And it's amazing that if you look at these verses, just to give you a little bit of a background, the sons of the prophets had just come to Elisha saying, "Our church building's too small." They said, "Let every man go. We'll help to build a new building. We'll get that building built, and then we'll have enough room for us to have church." I'm so thankful to look out today and see a good crowd. I'm so thankful that on the final day of VBS, at least, our church was pretty much packed out. It's a good problem when you've got not enough parking. I wish we had more parking, amen. But it's a good problem to have when you don't have enough. It's good to know that our Becca building has got a bunch of kids in it that are hearing about Jesus Christ. It's good to know that you decided to take Sunday and come to listen to preaching. Oh, it doesn't matter who's in the pulpit. You get preaching from the Word of God. So exciting to know that you took of your Sunday and decided that God was better. You took of your Sunday and said, God is more important. You took of your Sunday and decided, I'm going to make God first. And that takes a lot. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. Your body doesn't want to do it. You certainly are working too hard. The day of the 40-hour work week is long gone. Now everybody works 40 hours in the first 3 days of the week. And that still isn't enough to pay the bills. So you have to work another job. Then your wife has to go get a job. Then somebody else has to go get a job. Then the dog has to go out and make money. Everybody in the house has to make money. Cat's not going to do anything. You might as well get rid of the dumb cat. You know, it's amazing how wonderful and smart that we sometimes think we are. And then the devil comes. I've seen it so many times. People get started in church. They get going the right direction. They do the right things. And something somebody says or something somebody does gives them the excuse they need to not come back anymore. You stand around here for 15 minutes, I promise you somebody will preach something that makes you mad. But I got to be honest with you, God still needs to be first. And as you're looking at these verses in chapter 6, they had a great victory. I mean, Elisha made an axe head swim, for goodness sake. He put a stick in the water and the axe head came up, and it was made of iron. It wasn't a plastic ceramic thing that could float naturally. God brought it up out of the depths of the water, and the axe head comes up, and they're probably pretty excited about that. Church is going up. God's saving tools. Everything's going well. Praise God. But I want you to notice something. Somebody else heard about their success. You know, it's amazing to me that somebody hears about what you're doing for God. I'm going to park here for a moment. If somebody's doing something good for God and you know about it, shut up. Let me say this, let me tell you why. Just because you're not does not make them wrong. I wasn't going to start it out like that, but Bethel, here we are, the last days. And I can't get this off my heart. We've got limited time. What are we doing? We've got limited time, and there are people and entities and principalities out there that know when you're doing a good job. I've heard so many times about how a preacher's preaching his heart out, everything's going well, and somebody can't wait to say, yeah, but, hey, we're sinners, man. Preachers are sinners. I got to be honest with you, if I went out and asked every preacher if they were a sinner, they'd give you a resounding, oh, yeah. And if they wouldn't give you a resounding, oh, yeah, they're an idiot and a liar. But when things are going great, I want you to notice that other people notice, and they try very desperately to stop you from being good and stop you from doing that which is right. And by the way, it's easy to stop doing right. It's hard to keep doing right. It's hard. And what's sad is, Brother Bill, it comes down to, if I'm not getting a feeling of revival, then God's not doing right. When did revival ever become a feeling? When did church ever become a feeling? I mean, I want you to feel good while you're here. Praise the Lord. I want it to be great. But if I wanted it that bad, hey, hostess is back out with Twinkies. I'd hand those out. You never know how good I felt walking in the back aisle of Giant Eagle and this oasis came with big bright lights. Hostess is back. The greatest comeback in all ever. And I said, good Lord, have mercy. God brought the creamy golden sponge cake back into our lives. You don't have to go on eBay and spend $2,000 for a box anymore, because I was running out of money. If you look at these verses, Bible says in verse 9, the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, him saved himself there not once nor twice. You know, I look at that verse, and I would to God you'd listen to your preacher. Not one amen. You know, it's amazing to me how little credit we give our preachers. And I'm not up here banging the pans for the preacher. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want to. But it's amazing to me how we've got a man of God that loves us. You've got an associate pastor that loves you. Whether you think that or not, it's irrelevant to me. Some of you I don't like, but I love all of you. I'm just kidding. You've got great preachers here that care about people. It's amazing how little we go to them for advice. I don't do anything major without my dad. I don't. And you know, he saved me more than once or twice out of making a stupid mistake. And by the way, hey, I know you're big, tough, strong, smart. I get it. But you know, it's amazing how little we consult with the men of God, consult with the Bible, consult with God. This man does that a couple times, and the preacher gives him good advice. And I got to be honest with you, there's preachers out there that give you horrible advice too. But you know what? If our preachers are lining up with the Bible, don't you think you ought to give them just a little bit of credit, a little bit of concern, a little bit of thought? Maybe I should go to a preacher and ask, just maybe, because I really don't know. Should I go to the preacher before I get on Facebook? not to this preacher. Anyways, I won't say any more about that at all. If you look at this, verse 13, he said, go and spy where he is. I want to know where that preacher is. I want to know that where that preacher is, because I'm sick and tired of him being the man of God and giving good advice and doing the things he ought to do. And let me tell you something about this. You'll see very quickly that when a man of God's doing a good job, the enemies come. By the way, Christian, that's not just for the man of God, that's for you too. Let me tell you something. Start going to church. Huh? I mean, make it a priority. Not just Easter and Keister. I'm talking about showing up for church all the time. I'm talking about showing up for church, making it a priority. The enemy's going to come. The enemy's going to come. The enemy's going to come and try to get you to stop doing things for God. You just mark it down. They come. And what's amazing to me is this. It comes to a point in our lives where going to church becomes harder than staying home. And you stay home. And that's the day that God comes down for you. And you weren't there. That's the day that God makes it a priority to meet with you. And that's the day you miss. See, it's amazing to me, and I know this isn't going over real well, but it's getting, hold on, I'm coming. I just know this, the end is drawing near for us being here. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to have less church. I want to have more church. I don't want to have less God. I want to have more God. I want to have less of the world and the things that are in it, and more of God and the things that are in Him. To do that, though, you're going to face very real enemies. When something starts happening for God, immediately there's enemies, and it's amazing how they come. I want you to look at this with me and notice how these enemies come. The Bible says in verse 13, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. You know, the enemy comes in an army big enough to beat you. I don't know how big the army has to beat you, but the devil knows how big of an army it's going to take. And that's the one he sends. Some of you, it only takes a foot soldier. Some of you, it takes a whole brigade. But the enemy's coming. And look at how they come. They came by night and compassed the city about. Now, I want to show you this. Let's look at this verse for a minute. He said, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots. The enemy comes in a size big enough to defeat us. Not only does it come, it comes at night. You know, it's amazing how we don't realize that the enemy's coming. We don't see it. The enemy's tricky. He knows how he can slip in on you. He knows how he can slip in through the cracks and the crevices of your life. Maybe slip in through your music. Maybe slip in the music that's not so bad. Maybe he can slip in through baseball games and softball games that take you out of church. Those are all good things. But you know what's amazing to me? It's not good to put them above God. It's not good to put the world above God. It's not good to do that. Because I'm going to tell you, by Him all things consist. And if you want to get some victories in your life, you better understand that there's an enemy, and that enemy comes at night. That enemy comes when it can't be seen. That enemy comes, and it's amazing that the enemy is on us before we realize that the enemy is there. The enemy has already compassed us about with a great host. That enemy, and I don't matter how big it is for you, everybody I believe is different. I believe it would take a whole lot for me to miss church. It would take a whole lot for me to miss church. And I'm not saying for bragging or whatever. I want more God. I want more church. If that's not what your style is, that's fine. But my style, I want to have more church. And I would hope that it would take a whole SWAT team of David's mighty men to keep me out of this building when church is going on. Why? Because time is growing short. And I don't want to show God that I wasn't faithful. I don't want to show God that I didn't care. I don't want to show God that something was more important than God. The enemy's coming. Perhaps is already here. You didn't even see him. All of a sudden, he's there. And the enemy's not interested in you if you're not interested in God. That was profound. You might want to write that one down. The enemy's not interested in you if you're not interested in God. Do you know why that is? The enemy's already got you. enemy's already got you. He don't need to come after you no more. He's already got you. He's already had you. He's already got you, and he may sift you as wheat. It's amazing to me how when the enemy comes, he comes so quickly. But did he really come quickly? Or was he there all the time, taking his time, looking for his spot, and bringing enough? By the way, Brother Bill, the enemy's stronger than you and I. And he can get around us and compass us in just like these verses say. He can come. Ever felt like that? Good night. Ever felt like you look, everywhere you look, you got enemy. Everywhere you look, it's crazy. Everywhere you look, you can't find a friend. Refuge failed me. I went off to the left and I went off to the right. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You ever felt like that? Good night, that's a bad feeling, isn't it? Good night, that's a horrible place to be. And we get to that spot and it's amazing we won't go to church. We get to that spot, it's amazing we won't read our Bible. It's amazing we won't pray. We won't ask God because we've done asked Him, right? Well, they've compassed me about God and you let them do it. But did He really? See, the enemy knows where you're at. I got to be honest with you, these verses lend me to believe that the enemy knows where you are. He knows your address. Oh, he's not all places, all times, but he sure is pretty fast. And he knows exactly, he's got enough people working for him. I guarantee you, he knows where you are. Oh, just stay home today. Just don't pray today. Don't read your Bible. That Bible calendar's stupid. You know, I don't hear amens about that Bible calendar anymore. I don't have people come to me saying how exciting it is anymore. I don't have people coming and say, I'm way ahead now, preach. I'm way ahead. I don't hear that. I told you it was difficult. Did I say it was easy? Do you know that serving God is not? Doing what we're ought to do is not easy? It's easier for you to not read. Say amen to me. It's easier for you to not pray, is it not? It's easier for you to say, God, I surrender to the enemy. It's easier, isn't it? It's easier to not have to know about Him. It's easier to not have to think about Him. It's easier to just go on through our worldly lives and be okay with it. It's easier, but it isn't right. Your enemy comes in the cloak of darkness. Your enemy tries desperately to cut off your escape. And I know there's verses for this from God, but let me tell you this. Your enemy's going to try to make it so everywhere you turn, you see heartache. The enemy's going to try to make it so everywhere you go, you see pain. The enemy's going to try to make it so you say to yourself, and now, boy, how many times have you done this? I'll just amen myself after this. God, I don't know why you're doing this to me. Huh? God, I don't deserve this. I've served you all my life, and I don't deserve this. He has the right to answer back. You're right, you don't deserve salvation. He has a right to say, you're right, you don't deserve the mansion I've got prepared for you. You don't deserve the streets of gold. You don't deserve heaven. What a good God we have, amen. The enemy tries to cut off our escape. I want you to see this. Who is this person that's sitting here? Look at this. And when the servant of the man of God, his associate pastor, so to speak, his associate pastor was risen early. God bless those associate pastors that get out of bed in the morning. Praise the Lord. They don't want to, I'll tell you that right now. God bless. God bless preachers. My heart is going out to preachers all the time. God's men, and all preachers, not just the man of God for the church, but all preachers. My heart goes out to them. We're crazy. We are a peculiar people, but we don't even know coming or going. Sometimes we get crazy in our minds. We don't even know. And here's this servant of the man of God. And by the way, this isn't just some of your chump servant of. This is Elisha. Amen. This servant has seen great things. Axe heads were just floating a little bit ago. He's seen mighty, wondrous things. Don't know if this servant was there when Elisha took the mantle and split the river open. Don't know if that was happening. But I do know this. He's seen great things. Everybody knows about Elisha. And this associate pastor, preacher, What are we going to do? Preacher, what are we going to do? You know, it's amazing how even people that have been through the fire still fear the same fire. You would think that after you've gone through that calamity, that you'd no longer be afraid of that calamity. But it's amazing. Listen to me now. And boy, you need to hear this. Everything affects a person differently. I've got issues with things in my life that maybe you don't have an issue with. Amen? Okay. And you have things in your life that I don't have an issue with. I no longer have an issue with bad music. But I did. I used to. It took me a long, long time to get rid of my music. Long time. Get rid of my music. I want God's music now. But I did want my music. It took me a long time to get rid of that. It took me a long time to get those things out of my life. Let me tell you something. Did you realize that preachers battle things too? And here you've got a servant of a man of God. Let me tell you something. We got a great man of God. A great man of God. I've seen things here. I've seen miracles here. I've seen wonderful miracles. And you would think that Associate Pastor Brother Dave Ballard would not get worried. But here it is. And an enemy comes and compasses you about. And it could be the same enemy over and over again. You ever battled the same thing over and over and over? You know why you battle the same thing over and over and over? Let me let you in a little bit on the devil. The devil knows what makes you tick and what makes you talk. You'll get that joke later. The devil knows what bothers you. If you can't stand hearing preaching against homosexuality, the preacher's going to preach on homosexuality. If you can't stand hearing about preaching against alcohol, wine is a mocker, strong drink, that's what you're going to hear. If you've got, and this is church stuff, amen? What about the worldly stuff? If you've got a problem watching pornography, guess what you're going to see? Do you know why? Because the devil knows you have a hard time with that battle, and he can keep you under his thumb. I'm talking as a Christian. I heard that staggering statistic that the preacher brought out, that over 60% of preachers have problem with pornography. 60% of preachers. Are you kidding me? And the same enemy over... Boy, don't get involved in that. If you're involved in that, you better get out now. That's a wicked, wicked, vile, vile thing to be in. It'll tear your mind up. Anyhow, see, that was your chink. Now I just got you. I didn't get you. God got you. But you battle things, and they come the same, and they come, and they come, and they come. And it's amazing how every time they come, it seems like it's unbeatable, even if you've beat it before. Heartache comes. People talk. You ever, boy, one of the Christians, can I help you just a little bit? Golly, I do this too. I got to be honest with you, I do this too. I'm just giving you my heart right now. If you don't have something good to say, can you shut up? Good Lord, honest to God, just shut up. Because I don't want to hear it. Can I tell you something? Boy, please don't take this wrong. I don't come over here anymore until 9:30. You watch me. I'll walk in 9:26, 9:27, I'll walk right up here. You know why? I don't want to hear from you. And you might get mad. I got something to do. I've got to preach, and that's more important to me. Boy, don't get mad at me now. But it's amazing how often I'll walk through here, and you can't wait to tell me about Sister Watson-Fuss. Hey, don't worry about it. She just got done talking about you 2 minutes ago. You know, it's amazing to me. We as Christians, we eat our young. We tear our people up. Why? Because they're not doing what you're doing? Because they don't do it how you would do it? You know what? You're stupid. Do you know why they're doing it and you're not doing it? Because you're not doing it. That's good stuff. See, I told you, I'd be profound today. Here it comes. You need to keep all these statements. You say you know what to do. You say, well, I bless God, I'd never do it that way. That's because you're not doing it, dummy. All right. All right. Let me tell you something. I got no problem with somebody else doing something for me. I had a wonderful, wonderful man come to me and say, Well, brother, I would help you, but I'm worried I'm going to step on people's toes. But here's the thing, Christian. He plunged the toilet and didn't wipe the seat off. I would have never done that. Do you know why? Because you weren't in the bathroom, smarty pants. Hey, listen. We don't always agree. We agree a lot. But we don't always agree. Can I help you a little bit? Boy, I didn't have any of this planned. Whew. There's been times Dad, walk in. But I sit back. Has there ever been a time I've been disloyal to you? Now, let me tell you. Well, yeah, stick around, buddy. Do you know why? Do you know why? I'll back him. I don't care what it is. I'll back him. I might not agree with it. I'll back him. Do you know why? Because I'm not him. No, wait. Have I ever to this church said that I'm more important than this man? No way. Do you know why I say those things? Because he is our shepherd. Now I'm using this as an example. Please don't take this. He is my preacher. God had better be using him. Amen? Right? If God's not using him, God will take care of that. But as long as he's lining up with my Bible, I'm backing him. I don't care if I agree with it or not. You know why? I'm not the preacher. He's the preacher. And that saved me more times than I can even tell you. And yes, there are times that I'm just, boy. But at the very same time, I realize that God's using him in a different way he's ever using me. And you got to get a hold of something. It doesn't have to be your way. Huh? This is not going over well. This is not going over well. Anything church-related, why aren't you going to him? Can I ask you a question? Why aren't you going to the man of God if it's anything church-related? Can I ask you that? See, here's the thing. We're all towing the same rope and should be in the same direction. The vast majority of people don't put their hands on a rope, but they'll tell you how to pull it. Well, that was me. I hooked myself up to a winch. Well, bring your truck, dummy. You're not using that neither. See, it's amazing to me how the enemy comes and the servant of God and the servant of Elisha does not come and say, well, Elisha, this is the way I think you ought to do it. He says, preacher, what shall we do? See, the enemy is going to come and the enemy tries to cut off every possible escape. The enemy comes and sometimes we can't see him. But when the enemy does come, look at this. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? The enemy's too great. The enemy's fighting. I don't know how to do it. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they which be with them. I wish you'd believe that today. I wish you'd believe that today. That the host that's with you is greater than the host that's with them. I've had my preacher say to me often, Brother Dave, got to work it out. Are we capable of sitting and letting God work it out? Huh? I don't rush into the battles like I used to. It's amazing, I don't. And to my discredit sometimes, I guess. I don't rush into them like I used to. Because God does tend to work things out. I don't ever try to judge a matter before I hear both sides. Because I want God to work it out. Everybody in here is a saved person that I know of. God works in you too. I wonder if God could work it out. He comes, alas, my master, what am I going to do? We are compassed about, hey, was the enemy real? Say amen to me, the enemy was real. Was there a predicament going on? Oh, my soul, I would say. The enemy was all around. There's no as far as that man. And by the way, this isn't some uneducated servant. This is an associate pastor. This is somebody that's got a little bit on the ball. I would put our associate pastors up against anybody in the whole wide world, church-wise, when it comes to knowledge about the Scriptures and knowledge about God. I have no problem. I'd throw any of them into the fire. Let them go. I might need notes, but they probably do good. See, what's amazing to me is this. We sit in a church full of truth, and we sit in a church where God is preached, and we sit in a church where there's a real fight, and yet still the enemy comes and still compasses us about. And sometimes still we put our hands up and say, God, I don't want to do it. But the enemy being real does not mean that we have to lose. Preacher, what are we going to do? Preacher, what are we going to do? Hammond, Indiana, oh my Lord, have mercy. They've changed everything. What are we going to do? Well, good Lord, we got nothing to do with them. Oh Lord, what they're doing down the street. What's that got to do with you? See, what's amazing to me is this. Let's not get sidetracked by the enemy that compasses us about, because they do. They do. There's enemies of the cross everywhere. Let's worry, what is God going to do? What is God going to do? And he comes to his man of God and says, oh, my soul, my master, alas, my master, how shall we do? Fear not. I don't believe he yelled at him. I believe in Elisha. I guarantee Elisha could yell. Fear not. I believe that's how he said it. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Even educated Christians sometimes can't see the enemy coming. Even educated Christians sometimes don't have the answer. Can I help you? You know, you don't always have to have the answer. Did you know that? The older I get, the fewer answers I seem to have. Now, you go to a teenager, they've got an answer for everything. Is that not correct? If I asked you, Brother Jim, you got the answer for everything, son. You're a teenager. That's the way it works. Everything. Doesn't matter what it is. They've got it. If they can't get it, they'll Google it. Don't you hate that? You're sitting there racking your brain trying to get an answer. They're taking their iPhone. Oh, yeah, 1776, no problem. How'd you know that? I Googled it. I want you to know that you don't always have the answer, but I want you to know there's a place you can go to find it. And let me tell you something, sometimes the preacher doesn't always have the answer. Thankfully, our preacher's smart enough to say, I don't have the answer. Then we have a file we put that in. All of us, we've all done it. I guarantee everybody in this room that's a preacher has done it. There's a file we put, the one we can't answer. It's called the Deuteronomy 29:29 file. We've used that because that makes us look intelligent when we come to the realization that we're so very not. It's Deuteronomy 29. Oh, it's Deuteronomy 29:29. Can't you see that? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Come on, that's simple. You didn't know that? When the preacher's sitting there, I ain't got no idea why that happened. I'm clueless here. Deuteronomy. Let's all turn there. See, what you got to understand is you don't have to have the answer to beat the enemy. Boy, that's good stuff. I hope you're hearing me this morning. You don't have to have the answer to beat the enemy. The servant comes to the preacher and says, I don't know what we're going to do. And the preacher says, wait a minute. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't get so afraid. Don't get so scared. Because greater are they that are with us than they that are with them. When are you going to understand as a Christian God's bigger than anything you got going on? When are you going to understand that God's stronger than anything that's coming against you? When are you going to understand that you don't have to use your strength? We don't have to go in our strength. We can go in His strength. Let God fight your battle. Let God fight what's in front of you. It's amazing we worry so much running around all the time. Oh my gosh, I don't know what in the world's going to happen. My life is such a wreck and such a turmoil. Why don't you stop and let God fight for you one time?
Amen.
Why don't we see any victories from God? Because we don't let Him fight. He's never lost. Hey, you look like a bright young man. Can I ask you a question? If there was a fighter, a boxer, and he's never lost a fight, and some big man came and wanted to beat you up, and this boxer came and was standing next to you, and this big man wanted to beat you up, getting ready to go, and this boxer said to you, "Would you like me to fight for you?" What would you say? Oh, smart kid. That's a good one, preacher. You know what the kid said?
Yeah.
Why? The boxer ain't lost. Why would I fight when somebody else can? See, what you got to understand is we're in a battle. The enemies are coming. They're going to come when you don't expect them, and they're going to be bigger than you. But God is greater than them. I love this, my favorite thing. This is such a neat, neat thing. I believe this really happened. This is not a story. This really, really happened. I love what Elisha does. And Elisha prayed. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." These are not eyes that you and I have. These are eyes that were given to this young man, this associate pastor, for just a moment. And by the way, I've had my preacher say to me, and boy, I hope you get a hold of this. I know he's my dad. I don't care. Go pound sand. I've had him tell me God will work it out. I've had him tell me that. And I've almost told him to his face, he will not. Because you don't see how he can. Amen. You can't see. You can't. Come on. Amen me this morning. You know I'm telling you truth. You can't see. But I got news. Let me ask you a question. Teenagers, when you go down a road of alcohol, your associate pastor, your youth pastor, your preacher are going to tell you, "Stop drinking, son." Do you know why? Because we can see down that road. You can't see down that road, but we can see down that road. I've been down that road. Stay off that road. Preacher sees things that we don't see. Why? Because he's our man of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you got things that come into your life the enemy compasses you about. He's seen that enemy before, and he knows that the host that's with him is greater than the host that's out there. Fear not. And Elisha prays, "Please, let my servant see what I see. Let my servant know what I know." And look at this. I love this. "I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. I've had my eyes opened a lot. A lot. I got 20 years coming up real soon. My eyes have opened up a lot. The things that I didn't used to see, it's amazing. And boy, when you don't see them, how much you kick. You ever feel like you're just fighting, and you don't see, so you fight? You ever? Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm the only goober here. But I get things that come into my life, and I tell you, I just fight. I'm fighting, flailing, fighting, fighting. Sit up in my chair and think about it and brood about it and worry about it. Think about it and think about it some more and get mad and get angry. Next thing you know, I'm biting everybody's head off. And then God gets you through it. Open his eyes that he may see. I don't agree with what's going on right now. Open your eyes. Let God open them. Let God open your eyes so you can see. Now, you may not see it at first. It may not be like this. By the way, you start seeing what this guy sees, I'm going to start talking to Kevin Coleman about you. But understand this. We are not that smart. We are not that smart. Do you know that's why it's a calling to be a preacher? Because we're not that smart. We're not that smart. Preachers, by and large, are not that intelligent. We've got to rely on God. We've got to rely on God because we're no good on our own. And Elisha looks out and listen, think about this. So a battle comes. Let's say a battle comes to a teenager. Mom and dad are getting a divorce. I don't know. I went through that battle too. I can't see a way out. I don't know what I'm going to do. Let me tell you something. There's a way out. And I'm going to tell you, God will take you through it. But you may not see that right now. So you go to a man of God that loves you very much and cares about you very much. Alas, my master, what am I going to do? You say, fear not. For greater is he that's out that is in you than he that is out there. Open their eyes. Open their eyes that they may see. Open their eyes that they may see that God is stronger than all that. God is bigger than all that. God is better than all that. The servant went to the right place. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now that would be neat. Ha ha! Could you imagine? Woohoo! Could you imagine? If your eyes were open, if your eyes were open, and you saw out there a host of horses ready to go into battle for you and fiery chariots winging around your preacher, that'd be cool. Open his eyes, he may see, I'd be like, whoa, that's a lot of chariots. That's a lot of fire. That's a lot protecting my preacher. That's a lot protecting us. That's a big host that's out there, a great cloud of witnesses that are watching what we do and taking care and loving us and being out there ready at the battle. And yet we'll grab our toad sticker and run out there and say, I got it. If you don't know what a toad sticker is, it's a little knife. Sean carries them all the time. Toad stickers. I prefer a firearm. He likes knives. Don't ever bring a knife to a gunfight. Anyway, you want to charge out and you want to battle and you'll think, and then when you lose, you come back to me and I lost. God didn't love me. I lost. God didn't care about. I lost. God, you see what I'm going through? Oh God, you didn't go to the right place. Alas, my master, what shall I do? And God so sweetly come. Fear not. I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. He will never give you something that he can't get you through. Never. Never. It may be too big for you to get through, but it's not too big for him to get you through. If Elisha and the servant would have walked out into the crowd, what would have happened? Come on. They would have lost. But see, they didn't do that, did they? God says, I'll take care of you. Elisha says, I want him to have that same thing that I have, that confidence. And listen, I don't always have it. And I bet you if this preacher would be honest, he doesn't always have it either. There's some times when we think that the enemy's too big, the problems are too great. There's times we feel like it's just not fair. And I'm looking at you. You know what? I got to be honest with you. God, he's not fair. And everybody's eyebrows go up across the room. God's not fair. Aren't you glad he's not fair? Because if he was fair, you'd be headed for hell. You know what God is? He's just. He's merciful. And do you think that God that's just and that's God that's merciful won't get you through the battles that you're going to face? Alas, my master, what shall we do? Fear not, for your host is greater than their host. Who fights for you is greater than who fights against you. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. There is an absolute battle that's either in your life now or coming or has just been, but the battles will always come. The enemies will always come. Know this as we pray. You've got a greater host than all of them. You've got the host, the heavenly host. You've got the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got God the Father. You've got the Holy Spirit that goes with you. And nobody could lick any one of them, let alone all three of them. Nobody down here could beat an angel, for goodness sake. 183,000 Syrians with one angel. That's pretty good odds, don't you think? And we've got an innumerable host, an innumerable host, an innumerable host that fights for us, that fights for us. We worry so much about the world. Why don't you trust God and let God direct your life? Let God direct your path. Let God take care of you. It's not worth the worry. Fear not. For the God that you serve is greater than they. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you. You are such a wonderful God. Open our eyes, Lord. I don't think we need to see the horses on the hillsides and fiery chariots surrounding the preacher. I don't think we need to see that. But Lord God, we do need to see that you can get us through. Lord God, we do need to see that we shouldn't be afraid. Lord God, let us look to you. Please, let us at least turn our gaze upon you. Open our eyes and have us be looking at you, realizing how great you are, realizing how unworthy we are. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to serve you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be in church. There's so many things to be thankful for. Lord God, thank you. We will spend an eternity thanking you. I believe that. Lord God, please help us. Help us to realize how great you are. And although the enemy's great, you are so much greater. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say, you know what? I don't even know if I'm saved. I wish I knew. I would like to know. But I'm not 100% sure. And if you're not 100% sure that you're saved, you need to get that settled. That's a battle that your flesh is going to fight all of your days. Your flesh doesn't want you to get saved. But God sure does. That's why He came. That's why He fought the greatest battle that was ever fought. The battle against sin. The battle against the devil, and ultimately the devil loses. What a great God we have. So if you don't know 100% sure that you're going to heaven, would you be willing to put your hand up real big and tall? You'd like to be saved today. If you're not 100% sure, you need to get saved. Is there anybody today like that? Would there be one? That means I'm talking to Christians. I'm so excited about that. It is difficult here. It's difficult. To say that the world is not difficult is dumb. It is difficult. But He's greater than all that. He's bigger than all that. He's better than all that. Lord, I would have the Lord open our eyes today and see how great He is, how wonderful He is. Oh, I hope that this is not falling on deaf ears today. Because He is truly great. And I need to hear it. So if you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven, you know that you know that you know. That means that you've got a greater host with you than the host that can be against you. What a wonderful promise that is. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this morning. Oh God, please have your will and way in the invitation. Lord, let us look to you more. Please, oh God, let us look to you more. You're so worth it. Lord, help us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.